Moses asked God, "What is your name?" And from that burning bush, God said, "I am." What an ineffable name, I am. The name captures the eternity of God, God who is, who always was, who is now, who always will be. It reflects the constancy of God, that God is love, truth, beauty, and goodness. I am conveys that God is infinite, no limits, no boundaries. I am conveys that God is life and is the source of all life. I am, you notice in the Missal, as well as if you go to your Bibles, is always all letters capitalized. This is the sacred name of God. In Hebrew, Yahweh. So God reveals his name to Moses. Keep in mind, too, this is an implicit revelation of the Trinity. The Heavenly Father is speaking through his word, Jesus, to Moses, through this burning bush. The flame reminds us of the Holy Spirit, that flame that came down upon the apostles at Pentecost. So implicitly, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. God says to Moses, "I've heard the cry of my people, I've remembered my covenant, and I will bring them from slavery to the promised land." As we all know, Moses, by the power of God, fulfilled that command. Here, though, Moses encountered the living God. Jesus is the encounter with the living God. He is true God who became true man. He became one like us in all things but sin. He perfectly reveals God's love, truth, goodness, and beauty. Jesus, as Pope Benedict always said, puts the face on God. If we want to see God, look at Jesus. If we want to see the image of God in which we're called to live, look to Jesus. For this reason, if we go to the Gospels and we look at different phrases that Jesus taught, he mentions that I am, all capital letters. For instance, Jesus says, "Before Abraham came to be, I am." When speaking about his passion, death, and resurrection, to the apostles he said, "I tell you all this now before it takes place, so that when it does, you may believe I am." To the Pharisees, "When I am lifted up, you will see I am." To sinners, "You will surely die in your sins unless you come to believe I am." Christ reveals himself as God. In other ways, too, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the living bread come down from heaven. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life." Our Lord is the living encounter with God. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this, we should remember we've encountered the living God. When we were baptized, that encounter began. So through baptism, we were freed from sin. Sanctifying grace was infused into our soul. We were recreated as a child of God, incorporated into the body we call the church. In all, a life of an encounter began. We're called then to always live in that encounter, not saying, "Well, it happened," but it's rather a living event. This is why in the parable of this fig tree that Jesus mentions in the gospel, we should take that to heart. Because after all, this encounter with the living God that began at baptism has to be nourished, nurtured. And this is why we take the time for prayer, to study our faith so that we can know who Christ is, so that can we really know the revelation. This is why we come here to worship at Mass and then to receive the Holy Eucharist. Better than a burning bush, we have the Holy Eucharist. Never forget that. The Holy Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. We're called to bear good fruit by doing our corporal, spiritual works of mercy. And in this way, we are deeply rooted in Christ. Lent, then, is the time to renew this. As Jesus said, repent in the gospel. We have to look at Lent as a time to nurture that faith, that living encounter, to bear the good fruit, to be more firmly rooted in Christ. That's the goal of Lent, to be living in the encounter with Jesus. This is so essential, because only in this way can we make sense out of life when life makes no sense at all. Life encounters us. Things are out of our control. For instance, our Lord mentions this Tower of Siloam that fell down and killed people. Well, we know they're natural disasters. Tornadoes, we've heard of those in recent times. Flooding, hurricanes, earthquakes, and so on. It's part of life. This planet is not perfect. Creation is continuous. There's constructive forces, there are destructive forces, and so on. And yet, it shakes our humanity. Why? Or we think even of natural disasters that are more personal, like when we get sick, like really sick. Think of Alex Trebek, the longtime host of Jeopardy, just was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and we all know that prognosis is not good. And it shakes our life, and we say, why? Now, if we did not have faith, we could easily be left without any kind of hope and given to despair. We could ask why, and then even if we had not a firmly rooted faith but a shallow rooted faith, say, how could this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? Why did God do this to me? I hate you, God. As a priest, I've heard shallow rooted people say such things. But instead, we have to have faith. And that faith in the living encounter of God makes us remember God is God. We don't have control. God has control. We're little creatures. And somehow, God's plan is meant to work out for what is good. St. Paul said, if we have faith and we love God, everything works out for good, even in those situations like the natural disaster or our own personal natural disasters. We can grow in faith. We can grow in healing. We can bring about even reconciliation. We see the outpouring of good works when people face like the tornadoes, the hurricanes, and so on. It makes us remember our frail humanity. It makes us more grateful for all that we have. It makes us reevaluate what is truly important in life, like who we are and our loved ones. All those material things that may be lost can be replaced. It also reminds us, too, that in faith, if we're deeply rooted, life is passing. This isn't an end, but rather we look forward. And St. Paul said, if we've died with Christ, we will live with Christ. So that's great hope. No matter what happens, we have that great hope. I'll give you a couple of examples. A couple of years ago, in Oklahoma, there were these awful tornadoes. You may remember them. The news had the interview with this elderly couple. So the elderly couple said, well, when we heard the sirens, we went down into our basement, we were in the bathroom, and we were praying the Our Father. We came up after it was safe, and our house was gone. Everything was gone. But we have each other, and we know the Lord will get us through this. That is a deep-rooted faith with a living encounter of God. Where I thought of my good friend, Father Joseph O'Connor, this past Father's Day. Now, Father O'Connor was a retired priest at Holy Spirit Parish back in 1983 when I was a deacon. And he was like the grandfather I never had had because mine had died before I was born. So Father O'Connor had just celebrated his 50th anniversary as a priest. He was all happy. And this was about February. He found out shortly thereafter he had pancreatic cancer. And at that point especially, the doctor said, there's nothing we can do. So yes, he had good nursing care, he had painkillers and things like that. But I remember him saying to me before I was ordained, our God is so good, and I'm offering my suffering up for my sins, for sins of this world, and I'm offering them up for you so that you can be a good priest. Well, he died shortly after I was ordained in May, but I never forgot that. But that's a deep-rooted faith that lives in the encounter with a living God. Now, Jesus also mentioned about this blood that Pilate mingled with the sacrifices of the Jews. Well, consider the worst tragedy, the worst crime. Well, that was it, because that's a sacrilege. And so the Jews would have been totally offended. Well, there are evil people who do evil things, and you and I know that. Watch the news. We heard of the murders, those killings in the mosque in New Zealand. We heard of the killings in the synagogue in Pittsburgh not too long ago. We hear other kinds of murders. We hear of how the news media personalities or even politicians can make the internet and the media like a lethal weapon to kill people's reputations and so on, like they did for the poor teenage boy from Covington, Kentucky, who is at the Right to Life March. We've seen it. Evil people can do evil things. And we ask why. And if we didn't have any faith, we could be angry and say, how could God let this happen? Why doesn't God do something? Well, we have a free will, my brothers and sisters. God doesn't zap us when we have road rage. God doesn't zap us when we take his name in vain. God doesn't zap us when we lie or something like that. So we have to consider, we make choices. And some people make evil choices, and it affects us. But again, for all those things that are good that can come out, good can come. We can change laws. We can pursue justice. We can even forgive. And that puts a limit on the evil, because then the evil can't conquer our heart. For instance, Pope St. John Paul II in 1981 was the victim of an assassination attempt. A Turkish man, Ali Aka, was hired by the communist Bulgarian police at the behest of the Kremlin Politburo of the old Soviet Union to assassinate the Pope. It should have happened, but miraculously he was saved. On the way to the hospital, Pope St. John Paul said to his secretary, Archbishop Jivich, I forgive the man. And then, after the Pope recovered, 2 years later, he visited Ali Aka in prison and said, I forgive you. He wrote later, I did that because I wanted him to know he was forgiven. Well, Ali Aka was eventually released from prison, and he was baptized a Catholic. A Muslim man became a Catholic because through Pope St. John Paul II, he saw a living encounter with Christ. So my brothers and sisters, take the message to heart. Our faith has to be deeply rooted. So this Lent is a time to really nurture that tree of faith in our own lives. This is a time to prune out the sin. That's why confession is so important during Lent. Because never forget, eventually there's the last encounter. And that encounter is when we pass from this life and we face judgment. When we face judgment, God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will ask us, what is your name? And we should say, hopefully, I am a Christian. And hopefully, our Lord will say, truly, you are welcome. May God bless you.